From the CBS Bay Area studios, this is KPIX 5 News.
Right now on KPIX 5 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, hours and hours of rain finally clearing out, but not before causing some troubles all over the Bay Area. Good afternoon, Ellen Keyes.
And I'm Amanda Starantino. We have team coverage on the aftermath and cleanup from the storm. We're going to start with meteorologist Darren Peck, who's been tracking all this rain. Darren.
I think a good place to start, Amanda, is just to take a quick look back at how we've done. We're done with the rain for now. And since we started this storm on Saturday evening, we've picked up over 16 inches of rain on Mount Tam. San Francisco got over 5 inches, little over 4 of that just within the 24-hour window of yesterday, which broke records. I'll talk to you about those coming up in the complete forecast. And San Jose got almost 2 inches. So here's live high-def Doppler. That system has now moved down into the Southern Sierra. We are in the clear right now. There might be a stray shower or two which works its way through perhaps the East Bay in a pop-up shower kind of a variety over the next few hours. But it'd be short-lived and it wouldn't be much. There's a chance for more light rain tomorrow, so we're going to look at that coming up. It's nothing like yesterday, but still, rain is rain. We'll track it in the forecast. I'll see you with that in a few minutes, guys.
Thanks, Darren. And taking a live look at the PG&E outage map right now, Bay Area-wide, nearly 60,000 customers are still without power. That is an improvement at its height. 380,000 customers were in the dark on Sunday, and right now, the North Bay and Peninsula are seeing the most outages. New at noon, all evacuation orders have been lifted for San Mateo County.
Neighborhoods along the peninsula were hit hard by the storm. KPIX 5 Jocelyn Moran is live from Millbrae, where a flooded street proved pretty impassable for some drivers. Jocelyn.
Yeah, that's right. Well, right now the flooding has gotten a little bit better compared to early this morning. Now, the cars are still stuck here. We did speak to the owner of that white Chrysler you see behind me, as well as residents in the area who had no power for hours.
Heavy flooding, keeping several cars stranded in the middle of Millbrae Avenue. Dejanique Madlock says her husband was driving that white Chrysler when he got a flat tire. He tried to drive it to the Chevron gas station.
He was riding through here thinking he would make it and didn't make it, and there it is right there.
And on her way to check on the car, Dejanique got a flat tire herself.
I was coming off one of these exits and kind of hit something, and so now it's flat.
The area remained closed for the morning, with some drivers deciding to be safe while others still drove through it. Residents in the peninsula saw several of their streets flooded, including near businesses on the west side of 101 in Millbrae. Others saw downed power lines and went hours without power.
Had just come back on. It went out like 1:40 yesterday. We had to rush this morning to get ice to, so that it's kind of like to try to salvage as much as we can from the fridge contents.
We woke up this morning, no power. So we're hoping when we get back after this walk, we'll have power.
The storm over the weekend created conditions many residents can't remember experiencing in the Bay Area.
It's kind of scary, man. You would think we're living in like Florida or Texas somewhere with the weather conditions like this.
And PG&E says that many of those outages were caused by downed trees. Now, we did see power restored in areas like Foster City, but again, still many people being impacted. Live in Millbrae, I'm Jocelyn Moran, KPIX 5.
All right, Jocelyn, thank you. And KPIX 5, Justin Andrews, continues our live team coverage this afternoon. He's live in Pleasanton with a look at the storm damage in the East Bay. Justin.
Absolutely. We've been all over Alameda County for pretty much all day, and now we're at the fairgrounds, at the Alameda County Fairgrounds. You see this branch here, and they actually have some signs that have been ripped out of place. They dealt with some damage here in this area, but crews have been busy all morning, and crews all across Alameda County, they've been busy too.
Monday morning, Mother Nature caused mayhem across the East Bay. Cars stranded as floodwaters filled the freeway, leaving a line of cars stuck along 880 in both directions.
At Thornton, the entire roadway is flooded.
Drone footage giving us these aerial views between Thornton and Mowry Avenues in Fremont of just how much water was resting on the entire freeway, leaving CHP troopers extremely busy tending to these stranded cars and crashes.
We only have so many units out on the road per area, and our call volume it changes. And the problem that we have is we're trying to respond to all these different calls. And when something like this happens where the entire roadway shuts down, it takes our hands away.
The freeway was shut down for nearly 10 hours, tangling traffic. The relentless rainfall left some roads flooded in Alameda, like this one here on Harbor Bay Parkway. The Alameda County Fair took a hit as well with these overnight storms. These are the damage pictures of the aftermath. Vendors' items scattered all over the fairgrounds, and some of the tents were knocked over by winds.
Now, the crews have been working pretty much all morning to make sure that the fair is able to open at 3 o'clock. They're still doing some work here at the fairgrounds. They do intend to open doors still at 3 o'clock, even with some of the storm damages that they're currently cleaning up. We're live in Pleasanton this morning, afternoon. I'm Justin Andrews, KPIX 5.
All right, thanks, Justin. Take a look at this Pleasant Hill. Police showing a car on fire overnight while stuck in a flood. Police are reminding you to not drive through flooded areas. They say doing so can cause serious mechanical issues, resulting in an electrical fire like this one.
And check out this video. The storm triggered a major landslide in Plumas County. You can see from this drone video huge boulders, trees, and mud covering Highway 70. The mud flow and debris came from areas burned by recent wildfires. The CHP says it'll be quite a while until that stretch of highway reopens. And there are some school cancellations to tell you about today. Bennett Valley Union School District has canceled all K through 6 classes, but preschools are still open. Also, the Guerneville School District and Montgomery Elementary School District have canceled classes.
Taking a live look up in the Sierra, heads up if you are planning on hitting the road to Tahoe right now. Chain controls are in place for drivers on Highway 80. The stretch is from Donner Lake Road to Kingvale in both directions. Meantime, live to San Francisco, yesterday's rainfall total of 4.2 inches placed the day fourth on the city's list of wettest days ever and set a record for the wettest October day. The highest rainfall total for a single day in San Francisco was 5.5 inches. That was back in 1994.
Two San Francisco prosecutors have quit their jobs and are joining an effort to recall the city's district attorney, Chase Boudin. The city prosecutors, Brooke Jenkins and Don Dubain, say they're stepping down due to what they consider a lack of commitment to prosecuting crimes in the DA's office. Boudin was elected in 2019 and ran on progressive policies, including police reform and alternatives to incarceration. But those in favor of recalling him say he's been too soft on crime.
I'm Ann Makovic at the Live News Desk, continuing to follow the fallout from the Facebook documents that were leaked and show that Facebook knew its platforms can cause hate, conspiracy theories, and spread misinformation, but that sometimes the company decided to choose user engagement over truth. Now, redacted copies have been shared with journalists around the world by a congressional source. They include allegations that Facebook knew vaccine hesitancy was rampant in comments, that Facebook missed most of the hate speech on the platform in Afghanistan, and this one called Carol's Journey into QAnon charts how a dummy account could be served up conspiracy theories in just 2 days. Yeah, then there was the January 6th attack on the Capitol. According to this document, safety measures put in place ahead of the election were rolled back on Facebook and then only reintroduced after the riot broke out. We heard from a whistleblower who spent 11 years helping build Facebook, and now he's sounding the alarm as Facebook plans to develop its own virtual world. He says you can't trust it.
No, you shouldn't. And you should be terrified, because if the company is going to build a new metaverse, but is going to have safety, security, protecting against misinformation and hate speech as a relatively low priority, what world is that going to be?
In a statement, a Facebook spokesperson told CBS News that the leaked pages lack context and leave an incomplete, distorted picture of our company. Now, I just spoke about all of this with CNET's editor-in-large Ian Schur, and he says it may eventually lead to federal regulation.
A lot of the conversation around the tech industry up until this point has been very partisan. It's been very focused on stuff like censorship and these amorphous issues that were very hard to debate and didn't really go anywhere. And what we are now focused on is the harm that we can actually substantive point to that Facebook does to society.
These Facebook papers are now part of a large dossier compiled of complaints from another whistleblower earlier this year. We'll stay on top of it. Back to you.
All right, Ann, thank you. A just-released affidavit is revealing new details about that deadly shooting on a movie set in New Mexico.
Actor Alec Baldwin fired a loaded prop gun on Thursday, killing the movie's cinematographer and wounding its director. CBS reporter Omar Villafranca is in Santa Fe with new reports of previous safety complaints.
At a vigil in Los Angeles Sunday, film and television workers gathered to honor Helena Hutchins. Hutchins' death is now under investigation by the Santa Fe County Sheriff. According to an affidavit, Assistant Director Dave Halls grabbed one of three prop guns set aside by the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez, who took her first lead armorer job earlier this year. When Halls handed the gun to actor Alec Baldwin, Halls allegedly shouted, "Cold gun," indicating there was no live round in the chamber. Baldwin later fired the gun, killing Helena Hutchins and wounding the director, Joel Souza, who was standing behind her. And in a new affidavit released last night, Souza told investigators Baldwin was rehearsing a scene that involved drawing his weapon and pointing it towards the camera lens. A 911 call from Thursday raises questions about how the gun was handled on set, including by Assistant Director Halls.
He's supposed to check the guns. He's responsible.
Maggie Gall was a pyrotechnician on a shoot with Halls back in 2019. She says Halls' behavior on that set compelled her to file a complaint with her executive producers.
The first AD, they're not just steering the ship. They're also there to maintain a safe working environment.
Were there any safety concerns that you had when you were there?
No fire lanes, hard to access, doors were blocked. There were no safety meetings.
While the investigation into the shooting continues, it's not clear if criminal charges will be filed, says New Mexico defense attorney Erlinda Johnson.
They have to demonstrate criminal negligence, that the person acted recklessly with wanton disregard for the safety of others.
We have repeatedly reached out to Halls and Gutierrez, but have not heard back. And we're expecting to learn more about this case at a Wednesday press conference. Omar Villafranca, CBS News, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
And the movie's director, Joel Souza, is a Bay Area resident and lives in Fremont. He's currently recovering and is expected to be okay. Moderna is reporting some encouraging trial results of its COVID-19 vaccine for school-aged children. The pharmaceutical company says its trials showed smaller doses generated a strong immune response in children ages 6 to 11. Nearly 5,000 children participated. They were given half of the dose received by adults 4 weeks apart. Moderna plans to submit their results to the U.S. FDA.
Meanwhile, in a matter of days, 28 million children in the U.S. could be eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine, and FDA Advisory Committee will vote tomorrow on whether to recommend emergency authorization of the Pfizer vaccine.
It's entirely possible, if not very likely, that vaccines will be available for children from 5 to 11 within the first week or two of November. The data look good as to the efficacy and the safety.
If the FDA committee votes to recommend the Pfizer vaccine for children, the CDC would then hold its own vote next week.